There are exactly 1,128 headstones in front of the Capitol building in Olympia. Each one of them represents a victim of suicide in Washington from 2015, the most recent data. And the headstones are different colors according to the way each person died. More than half of them are red, meaning suicide by gun. University of Washington professor Jennifer Stuber co-founded the UW organization Forefront, Innovations in Suicide Prevention. She's trying to get the state legislature to reduce suicide, especially those carried out with guns, and she says she's found an unlikely ally in the National Rifle Association.
One of the things we need to understand is that nobody wants people to die by firearms. And there's a recognition with the NRA and with other organizations that support Second Amendment rights that there are large numbers of people who are dying by firearms by suicide. So there is a fair amount of agreement there that something needs to be done about that. And so there's common ground on the issue of guns, which is very rarely found. And so where I think the common ground exists is around raising public awareness and education about how everybody has a role to play in suicide prevention. And we know that when somebody is at risk for suicide, if you can put time and distance between their crisis and their feelings of hopelessness and the means, and in this case we're talking about firearms, they're intending to use to kill themselves, you can save lives.
Time and distance. Let that person cool off.
Let that person cool off. When you have that awareness, this is the best practice in suicide prevention, is that to be aware of warning signs and then to remove those firearms, ideally remove those firearms from the home of a person who's at risk for suicide, and at a minimum, ensure that those firearms are safely stored.
Because it's not just that someone has decided to kill themselves and they're going to do it. The fact is that if they lose the opportunity, you know, if the moment passes, that person might live.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the things we know, particularly with young people, is their suicides can be very impulsive, you know, and they can be going through a difficult time, you know, a breakup with a girlfriend or boyfriend or, a bad grade on a test, truly. They can be going through a temporary crisis that in their mind looms larger than life. And we know that for the youth who die by suicide by firearm, they find those firearms unlocked, unsecured in their parents' homes.
So you're working with Second Amendment rights advocates, NRA and others, mm-hmm. on what's the fix? How can you put time and distance between someone in trouble and a firearm?
Well, so there's a couple of things. The first thing is we have to make it possible to actually do that transfer, that temporary transfer, and it's temporary transfer between the person who's at risk for suicide who owns the firearm and somebody who wants to help them, such as a relative or a friend.
Temporary transfer, meaning it has to be legal to take the gun away from one person and give it to another. And that's right now that has been a legal problem in Washington state, right?
Exactly. Right now that's technically illegal.
Why?
Because the background check initiative that passed in our state made that temporary transfer illegal.
You can't just give a gun to somebody.
No.
You have to go through a background check to have it.
A background check, but that could create a barrier in an instance of someone being at risk for suicide. So I think one of the huge wins of this legislative session is that there was some really great common ground that was found between the Second Amendment rights groups and the gun responsibility folks who really want to see, you know, suicide prevention happening. And so they were able to agree on some language that would allow for such temporary transfers.
So how did you get a gun control, or you call it a gun responsibility measure? How did you approach the NRA and say, hey, let's work together on this? That's not what we think of.
Yeah.
We don't think of those two groups.
Yeah. And I'm somebody who lost my husband to a firearm suicide.
Yes.
And
I've lost my brother, as you know.
Yes, yeah. I know. But truly, it started with just approaching the NRA, a cold call one day.
You called him up.
I called him up from my office, cold call, because I was scratching my head and saying, I just have this feeling that, you know, the NRA, you know, which sometimes gets in trouble for not doing enough around these issues, around, gun violence, gun fatalities. I have to believe that they actually really care about the fact that they're losing so many people who are gun owners to suicide. And so I went into that conversation with that assumption of goodwill, good faith, humanity, shared humanity. And it turns out that intuition was correct. The NRA is actually very much in support of measures to raise public awareness about suicide and to work hard at changing the nature of the issue by changing the norms, encouraging safe storage practices, educating people about temporary transfers and what role people can play in suicide. They're actually quite on board. And now I think that, you know, now I've learned a lot. I will say I've definitely learned a lot. And so in going into it with a different set of assumptions, I believe that a lot more common ground on several firearm measures might be possible in the future.
I want to talk about one more possible legislation in Washington State, maybe a new law. And this is one that the NRA doesn't seem to be with you on, and that is self-banning. What is self-banning?
If somebody is in a suicide crisis, instead of removing the firearms, helping people to maintain their autonomy, to maintain control of their own Second Amendment gun rights, to allow them to put themselves on a no-buy list for firearms. And so the notion here is...
How long are they on a no-buy list?
It actually can be a very brief period of time, maybe, you know, 5 to 14 days. I think the language in the bill would still be getting worked out. But it's for a short period of time that you... And then you could put yourself on or keep yourself on or take yourself off and have that your name removed from that list very quickly. And it's completely voluntary. We want people to become more aware of, you know, what they're going through in terms of depression, anxiety, feelings of suicide. So for some people, you know, the issue around mental health is a lifelong struggle, right? And so it's similar to the concept of a psychiatric advance directive where, you know, you've been down this road before. You need hospitalization when you get to a certain point. You need to change your medication when you get to a certain point. This, to me, could be an additional tool where someone could say, you know what, when I get really sick because I'm living with bipolar disorder or I'm living with schizophrenia, it's really important for me to not have access to means such as firearms that I can use to kill myself.
It would be voluntary. It would be temporary. So what's the NRA's problem with that?
Well, their concern in this case is that it could get used coercively by healthcare providers, not just on people who may be at risk for suicide, but they encourage people to voluntarily waive their gun rights. That's the concern.
How are you working that out?
That one I don't think will get worked out anytime soon. But I will say that what's really great is to be at the table actually having these conversations, and as opposed to just talking separately and never coming to agreement on anything.
If there's one thing, one way we'd think differently about suicide, what would that be?
Well, one, I would like to take the shame away from the issue. We know that 1 in 10 adults and children might be thinking about suicide, and it's related to hopelessness and feelings of pain. And I'd like people to have awareness and empathy for those individuals and to get us talking about it, to truly raise awareness of the fact that we all have a role to play if we're aware that suicide is possible and we know to ask somebody about suicide. We know where to get help. The crisis line, 1-800-273-8255. We know to help them remove the means and to ask questions. So I think for me, it's about getting us talking about it and getting us, you know, really working on solutions together. We need more public resources for this issue. We have minuscule dollars devoted to suicide prevention. We spend so much money on, you know, dealing with traffic crashes and breast cancer, and those are all great things, but where's the money for suicide prevention? Truly, where's the money for suicide prevention? It's where's the awareness? We need to get suicide on people's radar, give them the tools, the CPR, the Heimlich maneuver, the buckle your seatbelt equivalent to how can you help prevent suicide.
What is that equivalent?
Knowing some of the warning signs. If someone's depressed or anxious, a big negative turn in their life events, ask them directly about suicide. Show compassion and empathy. Help them remove the means. Get them help. I realize it's not quite as simple as buckling your seatbelt, but it's as few steps as CPR or as few steps as the Heimlich maneuver. I do believe we can get there. We do have to practice. Bill, are you feeling suicidal? I want to help. I'm here to help you. We have to increase our comfort level with this conversation. We have to change our norms and ideas about this issue. It's not something to be ashamed of if you're feeling suicidal.
Do you think every time you say, my husband killed himself, every time I say, my brother killed himself, are we doing something about a shame or a stigma?
I can definitely say that we are. I mean, the numbers of people who are joining truly what is becoming a grassroots movement in Washington State. People who have never talked about their suicide loss or their experiences with suicide before are stepping forward, are coming out of the darkness to talk about this issue and to be proactive about it in their communities. I'm seeing that firsthand.
Jennifer Stuber, Associate Professor, University of Washington School of Social Work. She co-founded the UW organization Forefront, which is a suicide prevention group. And today is Suicide Education Prevention Day, thus those colored headstones in front of the Capitol building in Olympia. You're listening to KUOW's The Record.